from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on What's Trending, the Royals continue their series tonight against the Arizona Diamondbacks. That's after losing yesterday, snapping that winning streak post-All-Star break. Alec Marsh gave up 5 runs as he's now on a kind of a rough 9-10 game stretch right now after starting the season pretty well. Looking more like what a typical fifth starter would be for a lot of teams.
More like what he was last year. Now he's still young and inconsistent, so it's not crazy.
So the Royals back at it tonight with Michael Wacha on the bump. 7-10 first pitch. Vern's on deck show at 6. Good news for Wacha, he's got a 2.96 ERA when he pitches at home. Another big reason why the Royals are so much better at home. So hopefully they can start a new streak tonight. Elsewhere in the AL, the opposite of what had happened the prior nights. The Guardians won. The Red Sox won. So,
what about the Twins? I saw they were 0-0 the ninth.
I don't know if the Twins won last night.
I literally turned it off right after that.
The Minnesota Twins are playing the Phillies. They lost 3-0.
Oh, there you go. Didn't lose any ground on second place in the division then.
Yep.
Same record as the Twins still. That's exactly where you want to be, because they hold the playoff spot above you. So it's like, you know, I mean, it's the same, counts as the same, right? You're in the wild card, but still matters for at least a little bit there. Next up on What's Trending, as you mentioned, we're up at Chiefs training camp. The Chiefs did say Justin Watson hurt his foot. Nazi Johnson hurt his knee, but overall, nothing too serious at the moment. We'll probably get more of an update on that on Friday. Chiefs are off at camp tomorrow, so there won't be any practice tomorrow. They'll be in full pads for the first time on Friday.
Yeah, they have meetings the rest of today, and then, I don't know, after a certain time early this evening, then they're technically, as you said, off. So Joshua Williams was asked what he was going to do on the off day. He said he's going to be hanging out with the family. I don't know. Do you think something – I guess if guys have places in Kansas City tomorrow for part of the morning, are they, or later tonight, are they allowed to then technically go back home for a brief period of time? Like if they have a place in KC or something? Because they don't have to be back again until Friday.
Yeah. Home should be able to go back to his mansion and kick it for a day
after meetings today, and then come back up late tomorrow night or something.
Usually they end up at some like country concert in Power and Light.
But that's not till the August 2nd Morgan Wallen concert.
Okay, yeah,
that's the one.
Normally they end up at some like country concert together in like an evening time.
I'm guessing we'll see photos from the Morgan Wallen concert at Era, because they'll just put them up in a suite and they'll just chill and then drive back up to St. Joe. All right, next up on What's Trending, we know the Olympics are going on later this week, man. Friday, I think, is the opening ceremony in Paris. Salt Lake City, though, today was awarded the 2034 Winter Games. It'll be the first time Salt Lake City's had the Games since 2002, and now that they have an NHL team, the NHL's really excited that the arena, one of the main arenas, will be the same arena that the Utah Hockey Club or whatever the
Phoenix Coyotes, essentially, right? Yeah, whatever they're going to call it.
Yeah, the Utah Hockey Team or whatever. Also, Coco Gauff was named the female flag bearer during the opening ceremony. So it'll be Coco Gauff and LeBron James representing the U.S. opening ceremonies Friday night.
I like the Olympics, especially the Summer Olympics. Next up on What's Trending, Tua Tagovailoa's practice status is going to be fluid, as the words used by Mike McDaniel. Essentially, they're saying he's not going to be at every practice, he's not going to be at every meeting, but he's, like, participating. He's part of the team, kind of, while his contract stuff is in status. Essentially, they're trying to soften it like it sounds different than the previous one we were just talking about with Jordan Love. It's the same, man. Yeah, I'm sure they're sending you over the installs on the iPad, but Tua's not going to be a regular participant of their training camp until something happens with his contract. Same thing as I felt with Jordan Love. He is in the right to do this. Because at quarterback, at every position in the NFL, as short a career as these people have, and Tua's had the concussion issues and all this stuff, you might only have one chance at a massive payday. Do everything you can do to make sure you get that one massive payday. Second time through, we might be having a different conversation. I hope it never comes down to that with Patrick Mahomes. But the reason why it's coming up with Tua is because they're not sure about him. The Chiefs are never going to question whether or not they're paying Patrick Mahomes. They'll just always pay him. They're not going to think about that. It's different. But at least for now, they're calling his training camp situation fluid, which feels like a lot for a quarterback. Never good when quarterbacks miss.
Next on What's Trending, I mentioned the Olympics get going. We already have a scandal at the Summer Olympics in Paris.
Love it.
This one, I don't know if Bill Belichick is freelancing as a Canadian women's soccer coach as well, but there's an Olympic scandal involving Canada's women's soccer members being sent home for spying on opponents with drones. This is already happening at the Olympics. Their head coach won't lead Canada in their opener following the revelations. The assistant head coach and an analyst for the Canadian women's soccer team have been kicked off the roster. The spying scandal erupted at the Paris Olympics. They confirmed the stat were caught hovering a drone above their opponent's training session.
Awesome. Hey, man.
72 hours before their matchup, a drone was spotted above the New Zealand squad's base. The incident was reported to police who uncovered the operator of the spycraft as a member of the Canadian support staff. They also uncovered a further drone incident 3 days earlier. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Dude, cheating at the Olympics is not just cheating. That's cheating at the highest level.
With a drone.
Way more likely to get caught. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. You'd mentioned Bill Belichick real quick. Did you see the news story yesterday? This fascinates me. Kyle Shanahan, reportedly this offseason, blank checked, essentially, from a coaching standpoint to Bill Belichick. He said, Bill, come and coach anything on this team. Do anything you want to do. Show up for a month. Show up for the year. Be the defensive backs coach. Be a coordinator. Be the offense. I don't do anything. Be any job you want on this team. Just come coach with me on the 49ers. I got a spot for you. Now, reportedly, Bill Belichick politely declined. But honestly, I don't blame Kyle Shanahan for the hustle. If you can get Bill Belichick sitting around, kicking around a few ideas with you, how can that be a bad thing?
Well,
how can that possibly be a bad thing? Not running the team, not the head coach of the team, just kicking some ideas around.
No, it's not a bad idea. We know he was not happy with his defensive coordinator's performance in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl against Kansas City. Ultimately moved on from his defensive coordinator. I think if you're Belichick, though, why would you take this? And he didn't, but why would you take it? You know, the offseason, you're going to get paid to be in a television booth or studio. So, nice money, not nearly the stress level, if not no stress compared to where you were at. You also got this 24-year-old girlfriend to spend time with. Like, I don't blame him. Why would you go be a position or assistant consultant this year? Belichick can be a consultant whenever he wants in his life. You know what I mean?
For the rest of his life.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't believe that Kyle Shanahan actually thought he was going to accept either.
Really? I mean, I don't blame him. Kyle Shanahan, to his credit, is a lot like Andy Reid in the sense that I don't feel like Kyle Shanahan's ever comfortable. You know? He will innovate. He will move. He will change. He will, like maybe sometimes too quick, right? Like, Andy is still loyal and wants to change things. He makes the coaches he has change things. Versus Kyle Shanahan, who's had, what, like five defensive coordinators over the last five seasons, seemingly? I'm sure that's why he wanted Bill in. Hey, Bill, real quick, want to give me some quick tips on how to play some real defense? Because my team plays real defense for a while.
Because they know they're going to...
time, they pooped the bed.
It's because they know they're going to play the Chiefs the Super Bowl again. And they don't know how to stop Mahomes for a full overtime period as well.
Correct. Honest to God, I don't even think that that's crazy. I think he was looking for any way to get over the small little bit of hump. I will say for this for Bill Belichick, you don't owe proof to anyone, which was the weirdest part of his entire coaching search this offseason, is that it seemed like there were these teams who would like Bill to prove himself to them. And you're like, just real quick, excuse me? I have 6 Super Bowl rings. I'm the most successful coach in NFL history. I don't have to prove something to you. And I get that. And look, he was reportedly not trying to be a GM. That would be the only thing. But, like, there seem to be teams who would be like, but why do you think you'd be a good coach? What do you mean? The resume, man. All of it. This entire career. Kyle Shanahan was trying to throw a Hail Mary, though. He'll throw any Hail Mary, dude. He'll just do. Like, that's why they trade for, like, trading for Christian McCaffrey at the time seemed crazy.
Well, and you
they still made it happen, and it's worked great.
You also saw that, as we expected, Brandon Ayuk, despite requesting a trade,
he's
is at
show
camp.
Up, yeah.
And it's because he knows that they're not trading him.
No.
There's no reason for the Niners to trade him. They're in the middle of their window. They got their quarterback not making any money. They got all this talent on the roster. They're one of the Super Bowl favorites. You can trade Ayuk in the offseason if you need to. You
yes.
can tag him and trade him then. Why would you pass up another year to have Brandon Ayuk with Debo and McCaffrey and Kittle and all that? So, and he knows it. They basically are like, oh, you want to be traded? Okay, we appreciate that. Well, we'll see you next week at camp. Thank you. You know, you're not...
Okay, we heard you.
Thanks.
I mean, we're not going to do anything about it.
It's called a trade request. You know, you're requesting us to trade you. We don't have to do it, and they're not going to do it.
No. No, they're not. I mean, they're just not. They're not going to do anything different in that department, and that's fine. They don't have to.
Belichick's going to be what? On McAfee's show this year, and then is there another
some of the Manning cast.
Yeah, that's right. He's doing some of the Omaha productions.
I don't remember what exactly, but he does have something lined up with them. So
he's good on McAfee. I always get annoyed with coaches or athletes that when they're with the media as a coach, you know, active coach or player, they're kind of a-holes and don't say anything. And then that's fine if you want to have that mentality, but then as soon as there's a check available, it's like, oh,
now
wait,
right
I
open.
Actually can say some things that are interesting and not be a jerk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Boeheim, Bill Belichick. Keep going down the list.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, it's just, sadly, it happens a lot. They just call us jerks or insensitive, you know, but it's not true. They just, part of their job, and I've said this before, the one that doesn't get me any more is the lying. It used to be that I was like, why are you lying to me all the time? And I took it, like, it'd be like if you were just lying to me all the time. I was like, Alex, why are you lying to me all the time? That's unnecessary. I've decided that part of a coach's job is to lie. That's just part of the job description.
Yeah.
Lying is what he's supposed to do sometimes to protect a player, to protect somebody else, whatever other millions of things that come up. But that is part of the gig. Part of the gig is lying, and that's just the case.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we're going to be joined by Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, to check in with him on this homestand right in the middle of a 9-game homestand. They suffered their first loss of the post-All-Star break. Yesterday, the Diamondbacks trade deadline around the corner. And thinking of the trade deadline, you were looking at the lineup again yesterday, and it wasn't Adam Frazier in the leadoff spot. It was Garrett Hampson. Between the two, I prefer Frazier leading off more than Hampson, I'll be honest. But that's where the trade deadline comes into play. Is there somebody they can acquire?
I might prefer Hampson, but if you're making me choose, I don't really care.
Fair. Is there – Hampson's base running drives me crazy. That's the problem.
Fair.
But is there somebody they can go trade for that's realistic – that could slot in and be an instant leadoff hitter for this team? Is there a true realistic option? Like, Jazz Chisholm's the name, right? If you were to say someone that's offering positional flexibility, infield and outfield, and is already kind of a leadoff hitter,
that might be the dream scenario.
That's the best case scenario on the market, in my opinion, for a leadoff spot.
But I would tell you that there are others. There are other available options. But it's just like, in watching this for the last 2 weeks, the second they moved Michael Garcia out of the leadoff spot, moved him lower in the line. I mean, he's been hitting a little bit better again, but, like, they moved him out of the leadoff spot, and they started going Garrett Hampson and Adam Frazier because they probably just wanted longtime big leaguers, professional hitters, guys who are used to it, comfortable with it, whatever, and they wanted to try to get as many people on base in front of Bobby Witt Jr. when he's been hitting 800 since the All-Star break. Maybe it's 750 now after an embarrassing performance last night, honestly. Only one hit? I mean, come on. What's even the point, Bobby? If you're not going to have another 3-hit game, that's obviously sarcasm. He led off with a double and then immediately came around to score. But when when you've got Bobby and you've got Vinny and you got Salvi hitting well behind, you don't feel like you want to waste a leadoff spot. It just proves to me that that's what you actually need. As much as I would like another bullpen arm, and I think I would, I'd be cool with that. I mean, I'm not going to say no to it if that's the only thing they trade for, but if you gave me the choice right now, I'd choose a guy who can hit leadoff and just stay there for the rest of the day. And he does it the rest of the year. He doesn't have to be a superstar leadoff guy. This is what we talk about with good teams all the time. Good teams do this in the draft a lot for both baseball and in football specifically, but in baseball too. They're looking to be better, Gold. How can I get just a little bit better? All I'm looking for is a leadoff hitter that would be an improvement over Frazier or Hampson.
Right.
I don't need Look, I'd love to have Shohei Ohtani hitting leadoff for this team or any other Jazz Chisholm or realistic options, but I will take an improvement, which is not a big step because they haven't had any kind of consistent production from the leadoff spot except for like 3 weeks of Michael Garcia when he got really hot and they were kind of cruising for a little bit. Outside of that, they've just been slapping a random veteran up there or whatever. I think that they need another bat that can go near the top of the order that can lengthen it a little bit. Once you do that, I feel a lot better about it. I think that should probably be their number one priority for me in the trade deadline. I wouldn't be surprised if bullpen's
still bullpen for me. Yeah. Also, if we're being real, I think you would agree with this. Like, easier for them probably to go acquire another bullpen arm than going than trying to go and acquire a leadoff hitter. I think Adam Frazier's at-bats and just like how he, you know, he's going to at least give you a good at-bat compared to Garrett Hampson. That's kind of why I prefer him. But we know they're going to play matchups. I prefer them to go out and get a bullpen arm. And I think ultimately that's what they're going to do. Maybe they make two moves. But if you told me they were only making one move before the deadline Tuesday, I think the bullpen arm is the one they make. Oh, I would take a bat. I think.
But if you could only choose one, you'd still choose the bullpen.
Yeah.
If you said
They
only got to make one move,
bullpen, yep.
I would choose the bat. Now, look, maybe that's just because I'm like, what are they going to do? Like, because honestly, other than that, they should just be experimenting. Last night, people on, you know, Twitter, I think, were suggesting, like, well, they tried Renfro up there. And honestly, it's at the point that I don't think that's crazy. You don't need, like, the leadoff hitter the way in our brain, because that's the problem. It's like, I'm 39, you're 33. Our entire lives, a leadoff hitter was not Hunter Renfro. A leadoff hitter was Nicky Lopez type, right, if we're being honest. It was the
Jose Reyes or something, you know, like
fast the guy who plays a middle infield position like second base or right, you know, or maybe left field and quick and can steal a bag and all that. It's just not how they play it in baseball anymore. You know who I want? I want the guy, you know who I want hitting leadoff? The person on the team who will get on base the most. That's why Renfro actually makes sense. He gets walks. I want the person who gets on base the most to be the leadoff hitter, especially in front of Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny and Salvi. I just want someone to physically be standing on first base. Now, look, the one problem with Renfro is, and this is where teams still get in the old-school mindset, is you don't really want anybody clogging up the base pass in front of Bobby. When he's trying to stretch that thing to a triple, and like, I don't remember what it was, 3 weeks ago, right before I went on vacation.
I was at the game. They're playing the Marlins. And
Bobby just turns and is gunning for third and has to come to a dead stop because Vance held him up at third, I think, or somebody held him up at third, and he was like, oh, no.
Yeah,
oh,
no,
Bobby got caught. No man's like, you don't want someone getting in the way sometimes, I guess, with Bobby. He's the only problem with Renfro, but just give me a leadoff hitter. That's all I'm asking for. It's not that crazy. Maybe it's a little crazy. Maybe it's a little asking for too much, but I told you I'm way in. Yesterday, we had the NCAA tournament. I lost in the first round. Drew lost in the first round. You and Carrington advanced. Mac advanced for a single round. Nobody made it beyond. Technically, Carrington made it one more round than you and Mac, but played the same number of games because he got a bye, right? So you, Mac, and CDOT all won one game. The rest of us all got knocked out in the first round of the tournament. But I saw a stat yesterday. Take the tournament aside. We can talk about the results of the 6-10 NCAA tournament in just a minute. The players next year, when this game comes, this game might only last a year. I'm just going to say it right now.
What do you mean?
You might only get 1 year of NCAA college football.
What do you mean?
The players are getting ripped off.
Oh.
Dude, they're getting ripped off. They shouldn't keep agreeing to this. I don't care that everyone's happy the game came back. They shouldn't agree to this deal. As a reminder, every player got $600 per player, except for Arch Manning, who managed to work out a different deal, to be in the EA deal to have their name and likeness went in there. 2.2 million people paid $100 to play college football 25 early. That's just the people who paid to pay it to play it early.
Right.
$220 million?
Uh-huh.
In just early release? They got ripped off, dude. $600 per player. It's like $10 million. They did not get anywhere close to their fair share of the deal. They're getting ripped off. They should hold out. They should hold this against EA because EA's got a cash cow.
Are you hearing this? Are you hearing
and they should hold out. They should do this again.
I'm hearing it.
Don't just give them the free college football 26. They don't deserve it.
Ed O'Bannon Jr. over here or something.
Yeah.
My goodness. Like, look, no. The
ripped off.
NIL is a great thing. And, yeah, they should have been compensated a long time ago. There's how many players in the game? Like 11,000 or something?
Uh-huh.
10,000?
Something like that.
I don't know if that's what it is. Yeah, like 10,000, 11,000 players in the game. What do you think's a fair? Let me honestly. Like, what's the fair number then? Because remember, the game's not free to make. Like they do spend millions of dollars
Cody,
making the games.
Cody, you said how much money? $10 million.
It's like Okay, it's actually less than that. I looked it up. It's $8.7 million, roughly, is what the players got.
Okay. What do you think is fair?
$100 million.
Okay, well, that's just not happening. That's not happening.
They're going to still make tons of money. I think the players should get $100 million.
You want them to make half of what the game makes?
Wow, I'm really making the players rich. I'm letting them get, what, $6,000? I'm not like, yes, I think, dude, every other thing is collectively bargained. Look, I'm sorry that you guys are part of the proletariat. You're not a part of the proletariat. And you guys are all like, oh, I guess all the CEOs. Gold also thinks that every employee at Disney, just the CEO, should make $100 million.
No.
And everybody else should make minimum wage.
Oh,
this is crazy. I think they should get half. Yes, they earned half. They're worth more than just the guy. They're worth just as much as the CEO of EA who thought, what if we had a college football game?
You probably want everybody to get everything for free, too, and not have to pay for anything. I mean, come on.
I just think that they should get their share. I'm asking them to get $6,000 instead of $600. It's not crazy. They deserve more money. They should hold out.
That's your reaction?
Yeah, that's my reaction.
The ARC tournament yesterday, we had a ton of fun at the tournament. Congrats to Joe Summers, who won the tournament. Had a blast. Everybody, I think, had a great time.
Your takeaway is
that they need to stop making the game until the players make more.
I mean,
Maybe next year they give them a little bit of a bump, but they're not. I mean, go look at any Cody wants half, so whatever it is, whether it's the company we could work for or whatever, Cody thinks half needs to be.
Half to the employees? Sure.
Okay.
I think half of Odyssey's profits should go to the employees and not people who work in big corporate jobs? Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Again, I choose to live in reality. The same thing with the stadium conversation.
That's fair.
I think billionaires should pay for their stadiums, but that's not the reality of the world we live in. Should there be a balance?
They got a copy of the game, too, so technically you're paying like $700. I got to redo the math.
Oh, my goodness.
They are getting ripped off. You're admitting that, right?
They weren't making any money before. Nobody's forcing them to be in the game. They're still getting NIL while they're playing with other things. This is just to simply have their name in the video game. That's what NIL is, right? So that's fine. They're getting a chunk. When Raising Cane's pays for a KU wide receiver this year to randomly stand in the drive-thru and take a few orders for an hour, you think he's getting paid like $20,000?
He's getting paid like
$1,000 maybe.
Those are different jobs.
No, they're not. They're the exact same thing.
No, it's not. He has a part-time job, Drew. If you go work at Chili's tomorrow, Sixteen shouldn't pay you less just because you're also working at Chili's.
The thing about
you've earned your money, you've earned your check.
The thing about this, though, that's different is if they don't need to pay the players anything. That's a bonus because regardless of whether the players' names were in or not, people would still buy the game because it's not like people wouldn't buy it. There's nothing for them to stand on and say, well, we're not having our names in the game because you're not paying us enough. Where the game would still sell.
Fine, sell them without my name
copies.
On it.
Well, yeah, players have the right to do that. They can choose not to sign.
I think they should, as a group, not sign it.
Yeah, yeah.
No one take the $600.
Also,
I think
the best argument is from this text. They said, if by Cody's logic, though, half the income actually should go to the developers of the game. They're the ones actually doing the work to make the game. By your lot, the company EA should be paying their developers more money.
It can be thirds if that's what makes people better. I don't know how like the EA versus the developers part of it works. Dude, they sold $220 million in just early copies.
I don't even think that the players got eight million dollars.
$220 million.
You're sounding like the billionaire that's during a disaster donates like $150,000 to disaster relief, and you're like, that's only like $10 to him.
Oh,
he's still donating like $100,000. You know what I mean? That's what this sounds like.
I'm not that guy. I'm definitely not that. They deserve more than $600 though. They're getting
and maybe they get a bump, but again, they cannot sign the document. If you told me I could sign a sheet of paper that someone could just use my name for 1 year of a video game or anything, and they just use my name, where do I sign? I don't have to do any work. I don't have to do anything. They just use my name for $600. I don't have to promote them or anything.
Fowler probably got 10 times as much. Well, he got way more than that.
He did more work for the game, though. He had to record a bunch of lines.
But we talk about this all the time. Your name has value. More than $600 worth of value, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Devin Neal should be
some players, but does the third-string center for Kennesaw State?
No, he can take a $600. That's fine.
You're really not about the people.
I'd be fine if it was even. I don't really care, honestly.
Someone says, if Cody had a business, he'd go out of business in 6 months. Goodness. All right, guys, we're broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp. We're inside the Comcast Business Tent, powering possibilities. We get back into the Royals with Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. We'll ask him what's going to happen before the deadline next week, next year on Cody and Gold.
Cody and Gold.
Hey, Drew Nixon, that's just ugly, man.
Brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com. 610 Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here, Cody and Gold live from St. Joe. Chiefs training camp wrapped up about an hour or so ago. If you missed our conversation with Mike Pinnell, you'll hear some of that again in the 1 o'clock hour. We talked to the veteran defensive lineman. He played a little peacemaker today on the field at one point. There, you know, things got a little heated out there. It looked like at one point there was a player maybe got touched a little later than normal on no pads. Nobody tackling anybody. But then Carl Loftus and Kelsey were barking, and it was Pinnell separating the two. You know, look, it's hot outside. You've been running around.
Kelsey does. He's tired of camp for just life, I think, which is fine because he still performs at a very high level. But, yeah, he is over just, like, people giving him an extra shove in this heat in St. Joe. And I feel like every young player at this point knows it.
Our training camp coverage presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. But let's talk about the Royals, who are less than a week away from the trade deadline. They're obviously part of a homestand right now. Diamondbacks tonight trying to win the series over Arizona, then an off day before the Chicago Cubs come to town Friday night, and that is Patrick Mahomes' bobblehead night. Vern, what's going on, man? This homestand feels, at least from afar, not being out at the K like you are every night. It seems like there's some more juice, a lot of it coming from two nights ago, but some more juice around this team and even in the stands.
Yeah, certainly last night seeing 22,000 show up on a Tuesday night to see the Arizona Diamondbacks tells me that, you know, Kauffman Stadium slowly starting to become once again the place to be. This might be silly, but man, I remember the days in 15 and 16 sitting up in the press box about, you know, an hour before first pitch, and you would start to see the cars backing up on the off-ramp, waiting to come into the stadium, and hadn't seen that in a long, well, I haven't seen that since 2017. Haven't seen that since Haas and Moose and all them left. This homestand this weekend against Chicago was the first time I've seen those cars start to back up, getting off of 70, getting on to Kauffman Stadium. So it was nice to see, and then it kind of culminated last night with 22,000 on a Tuesday, because that tells me that it was a spur-of-the-moment decision. I can't imagine that many people went out of their way months in advance to say, I got to see Corbin Carroll on a Tuesday night.
No, you would think, and Alec Marsh, right? It wasn't Cole Reagan's or Seth Lugo.
Right.
And maybe Bobby Witt Jr.'s performance, Vern, was a part of it, because he had had four straight three-hit days and is about as hot as a hitter can get. Like we said, we figured out on this show, it's turning into the early days of Patrick Mahomes where, okay, guys, get ready for the four-hour show today. Can we figure out a new way to say this guy's a badass, or has anyone got something different on that front? Because it seems like we're getting there with Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I do think this remarkable run that Bobby's on, the fact that he's putting together what's on pace to be the greatest season ever by a Royal, that will sway you on a Tuesday night to make the drive out to Kauffman Stadium. And then, you know, with the extra juice that went into last night's game, as some, myself included, were hoping that there was some extra animosity out there on the field, maybe that's the reason why we saw such a big turnout last night. But I think that's going to be the case moving forward. Obviously, this weekend, Cubs fans are going to travel. It's going to be packed. But I think from here on out, you know, Monday they had a little north of 16,000, but I think that's going to be the low water mark, really, from here on out, because of what you're saying about Bobby Witt Jr. Because when you purchase that ticket now, there are a few things that you can almost guarantee. And that, to me, is now the standard for this 2024 Royals Ball Club. And the standard is, the best player on the field's always wearing your jersey. Your starting pitcher is going to give you a chance to win 80, 90% of the time. And when you do lose, it's not going to be because of stupid baseball. Stupid baseball that, well, you guys grew up watching a lot of stupid baseball in Kansas City. But now you're not seeing those outs on the base paths. You're not seeing stupid baseball defensively. So if I'm going to spend my hard-earned money, I don't want to watch my team make stupid mistakes. I want to be entertained deep into the game, and the starting pitcher is going to allow that. And I want to see Patrick Mahomes. I want to see Bobby Witt Jr. I want to see the best player on the field wearing my jersey.
What do you think the other night meant, though, for the clubhouse, which you're in there on a daily basis, and so maybe it was already super close and one of the better clubhouses. I don't know. But after seeing Salvi back up Bobby Witt Jr., the comments he made saying, I always have Jr.'s back, from the outside, I feel like that's got to make things even better in that clubhouse and rally the troops even more.
Without question, or at least serve as reinforcement of the bond inside that clubhouse that really goes back to spring training. And I think Bob and Matt Quatrero did a pretty good job of pointing that out earlier today when they were talking about Will Smith. And I recently had a conversation with someone in the organization where I'm like, man, obviously you guys have a lot more talent. You know, anyone can see that this team is far superior to last year's ball club, just talent-wise, just pitching-wise. But there has to be something else. You know, what else is there? Is there a focus? Is there a standard? Is there a work ethic? Accountability? What is it? And, you know, they point to guys like Will Smith and Chris Stratton in the bullpen, Hunter Renfro as far as the everyday players, you know, Michael Wacha in that rotation, guys that will hold one another accountable, guys that have been through the ringer before that can help some of these inexperienced Royals see the big picture, see the forest through the trees. I brought it up to Kyle Isbell yesterday, and he's, because, you know, Izzy is shockingly the second longest tenured position player in that clubhouse, and I'm asking him, what's so different, you know, about this team compared to years previous? Again, obviously I know that the talent, but what else? And he just says, everyone's on the same page for the first time in my career here in Kansas City. Everyone knows their role and is excited to play that role. You don't have different agendas in this clubhouse. And, you know, understandably, that can happen when you're losing a lot of games. Guys start to look out for themselves and their family and their contract. That's not happening right now, and I think you saw that on display with Will Smith standing ready to charge out of the bullpen, Salvi ready to do whatever's necessary. It served as a reminder of, hey, we're all in this together. I just got done watching George Brett on with Haas and Moose on their podcast. And, you know, Moose and Haas talked about that 2015 team as a family, and they talked about all the fights that they used to get into with, you know, the White Sox and the Angels and the A's and the Orioles. And, you know, we still haven't seen a fight yet from this team, but I don't think any Royals fan out there would doubt that they're going to throw down. If one gets trifled with, it's going down.
Yeah, if Salvi had gotten hit in last night's game, it was going to be on. There was no doubt about it. We were, like, right on the cusp of it, it felt like, in the previous game when Salvi gets angry enough. This might lead us into the trade deadline conversation, Vern, which is, I think, a week from yesterday, so we're inside of a week, 6 days away from the trade deadline or so. What would you do at the leadoff spot? Because anytime I see like a consistent daily Frazier or Hampson at the top of the order, I start thinking a bat becomes incredibly important.
Listen, if they can improve a spot on the bench, yeah, I'm all for it. Just like if they can improve a spot in the bullpen, I'm all for it. But I maintain there's just no reason to get into a bidding war. As far as the leadoff spot, I agree with what Gold said earlier. Yeah, I still prefer Adam Frazier right now. He is giving you a pretty strong plate appearance. But that spot needs to be Michael Garcia's. Michael needs to end up back in front of Bobby Witt Jr. You need that energy at the top. You need that speed at the top. And I'm not saying it needs to be today. I'm fine with Frazier back out there facing a righty in Ryan Nelson. But, you know, come mid-August, I'm hoping that this nice little run that Michael's got going on, he's hitting pretty well in the month of July, just like he did in the month of May. So, you know, track record says, and that swing says, he's going to get it figured out. So I'm still expecting, and I'm not hoping, I'm expecting Michael Garcia to be your leadoff hitter by this time next month.
Is the idea of Renfro at the top crazy? Does he just get too much in the way of Bobby Witt Jr.? Because I just like somebody who gets on base, Vern. Does that make sense? Anyone who can get on base in front of Bobby and Vinny right now feels like a winner.
Hunter Renfro, since the start of May, has an OPS north of 800.
Yeah.
Hunter Renfro's been the guy that he's been for the past, you know, six full seasons, a guy that runs into 50 extra base hits and 20 home runs. That's who he's been. Look, Kyle Schwarber hits leadoff in Philadelphia on occasion. So, yeah, certainly Hunter Renfro could. But again, right now I'm riding with Adam Frazier and hoping that he's holding it down for Michael Garcia for only hopefully just a few more days, to be quite honest with you. That'd be great.
We're talking to Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. His On Deck show tonight, 6 o'clock, as the Royals continue their series against the Diamondbacks. It'll be Michael Wacha at 7:10 right here on 610 Sports Radio. Cody alluded to it there, kind of asking you about, you know, the leadoff spot. Could they go acquire someone? What do you think they ultimately do come next Tuesday or before next Tuesday's deadline?
Well, we'll see. I mean, deadlines make deals, and maybe JJ and this organization are going to be a lot more aggressive than I would expect. But everything that they're saying, everything that I'm hearing, everything that they should do is enjoy this. To be quite honest with you, enjoy these next 2 months. Now, of course, they can't just sit back. JJ Needham and the rest of the front office, if they can improve a spot on the bench, you know, find someone to improve on, a Nick Lofton. No knock on Nick, but if you could find a guy that is able to come with a little bit more extra base pop off the bench, a guy that doesn't need to play every day to be in a solid routine, which is it's tough. It's tough to be a bench player, especially for a guy like Nick Lofton, who's been an everyday minor leaguer for a majority of his professional career. If you can improve the bench, go for it. If you can improve the bullpen again, go for it. But no one has presented me a reason why this team should get into a bidding war for any position, a reliever, a starter, a hitter, whatever. You're in possession of a playoff spot right now in year one of Bobby Witt Jr.'s contract, coming off a 106-loss season. Reagans and Lugo and Bobby and Salvi and Singer and Marsh, they're all back next year, unless you think this is fluky and it's not the beginning of a nice little run with Bobby at the center. I just don't see the need to be ultra aggressive at the deadline. You're good right now, and in my opinion, you're, you know, one of the five best teams in the American League, and barring an injury, I don't see how this team falls out of the race.
This is probably a small thing, Vern, on the fifth starter spot, and there was times this year, I think you and I were both making the argument that Marsh looked like one of the better starters in the entire rotation there for a stretch. But with his recent struggles, would you kick the tires on anyone like Paxton? Or, like, do you trust Marsh to just be the fifth starter for the rest of the year, I guess, is essentially what it
is. Yeah, certainly. Yeah, I have, you know, so long as you still have Lugo and Reagans and Singer and Waka, yeah, I trust Alec Marsh to be the number five, no doubt about it.
Josh Vern, our Royals insider, will be listening tonight. Appreciate it, man, and I'm sure we'll check in early next week right around the deadline.
Sounds good. Thank you.
There you go. That's our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. And this has been a fun week at Kauffman, man. He mentioned
22,000 on Tuesday night, man.
I know. Well, and then this
week, they only had 17 on Monday. So, like, people saw the, like, near brawl and were like, you know what? I'm getting my ass out to the K. Well, I'm watching Bobby Witt Jr. slug.
Always helps. The team was, you know, is playing well. And then, yeah, history was nearly captured on Monday night. And this weekend's going to be a big crowd. I'm going to try to get out there this weekend. Maybe even Friday. Mahomes bobblehead night. We'll bring some people out too.
Plus, that's, it's the
Cubs. Vern said it. You know there'll be Cubs fans that travel. You know the Cubs aren't playing all that well this season.
But they have fans everywhere.
Yes. Yep.
That's part of it. It's the fans everywhere part of it. Look, I've told you before, and we said this, but if the Royals make no more moves, I'm not going to be mad at them. This team is good. It's well constructed. It's well balanced. There's no true, like, oh God, that's a complete weakness that they can't overcome. They're a very balanced, good baseball team, very good baseball team, who can make the playoffs as currently constructed. Man, sometimes in this town, and I get this is the bidding war part of it, I get so damn hungry for a team to be in the playoffs when they're the Royals because of the gapping that has existed in my lifetime of playoff appearances. They went my entire life. I was born in 84, so like 85 after, and then they just didn't go to the playoffs again until 2014. Then a 20, and so then it's like, all right, they're in 15. Now I got to wait another 9 years? Well, I want to see him in the damn playoffs. So part of me is like, and I shouldn't sell out. I understand that, and I understand the, like, you got to think bigger picture than that if you're a GM. But, like, there is part of me that is just like, oh, I just want to see the damn playoffs again. I'm so tired of not seeing it again.
Well, I get it, but that, I think that's what they did for the off. That's what the offseason moves were. You know, I get the fan sentiment, and you're right. It's like Vern mentioned, like, do you think it's fluky or not? You know, and that's something.
No, I think they're a well-balanced team. I think
will Seth Lugo pitch this well next year? Probably not, but doesn't mean he's going to fall off a cliff. You know, like, so
somebody else will pitch well.
Right.
Somebody else will hit well.
Some other pieces. But you're right. I mean, I with the way they fans approach right now, I think, though, John Sherman and J.J. Bacolo and the money they spent in the offseason and everything, to me, that was their moves to get a wild, you know, I don't think they could have dreamed of them being in this exact position necessarily, but, like, their goal has always been initially, right, let's see what a wild card team looks like. And I think they made moves. Clearly they have, because they're at this moment in the playoffs, if they were to start tomorrow. Now, there's 58 games or whatever still to go. But they put together a roster that's clearly good enough to compete and be in a wild card spot. That's where they're at right now. And division, they're around. They're hanging around. We'll see.
Yeah,
I've told you I'm kind of – I want to see where they are a week ago, just based off of what happened even last night. Like, ground they made up, like, it can go away pretty quickly, too. Uh-huh. The same way you
lose again tonight, and then like, they win again tonight. Now you're six back again. Yeah, it's a fine line. It certainly is. And that's why I told you I wasn't just being like, they're doing it now. I just told you I might have prematurely said it had no chance. I still think it's a better than a long shot. But they're in a playoff spot.
Yep.
There are 50. I think it's 60 games, right?
I said 58, whatever. Yeah.
Is it 60? I think it's 60 games. I think it's 60 games remaining. I think they played 102.
Okay.
So 60 games remaining. That's still a good chunk of season, but that's also like, and as of right now, they'd be in the playoffs. So, like, I've got some faith that they're not going to be out of this thing September 1st.
All right, Drew, let's get to it.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew, over in the text line, 913-586-7610. Alex has got that pulled up. I got the video stream chats pulled up over on Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. Maybe we'll be back on Twitter one day, but we're not there currently. They switched to premium. Sorry, fellas. The question I have for you today is something Dusty asked me on Tuesday when we were in the studio. He had said, hey, I see snow cones are back for Chris Jones. Ice cream truck conversation. So I'll give you two. Not just one. I won't force you to one in case you want, like, something fruity and something chocolatey. You get two things off the ice cream truck. What are you going with? Two things off the ice cream truck. What are you going with? That's really the question I have for you for the random question of the day. Gold, which two? And look, just look up ice cream truck photo. You might not even need it. Just know it off the top of your head.
Two come to mind. I can picture. Number one, if you're asking, like, what did I have the most? Number one, as a 9-year-old kid, 8-year-old kid or whatever, the Bugs Bunny ice cream with the gumball eyes.
Did you eat the man, that gumball had to get warm. Break a tooth.
Yeah, you got to wait till that thing softens up a little bit. The Bugs Bunny was a go-to. For whatever reason, I like that one. And then the other one, it's basically the same thing, but it was a Tasmanian Devil one. This is essentially the exact same taste.
It was the identical thing.
But it was just, so that kind was what I went with for the most part.
I will say, I took my kids to Penguin Park, which is a park right by my house.
Penguin Park, okay.
Yeah, well, it's got a giant
penguin
in it, and other animals, an elephant, but it was called Penguin.
That's not the same park that you... As a kid, teenager, no, it's not the same park.
Wait, did I say that I had sex at a park?
Yes.
As a teenager?
Yes.
It wasn't that park.
It was not Penguin Park.
No.
It wasn't on the Penguin.
No. Okay. It wasn't. Dude.
Thank goodness.
The inside, they've now enclosed it. They've paper mache'd or whatever, fiberglassed over the inside of the Penguin. Used to be a slide inside of the Penguin. It smelled like piss. You could not. Hot summer day, dude. You didn't want to be inside the Penguin. some idiot kids just making it smell like urine all the time. So now, the Penguin is now covered up. But I took my kids. I was out there at 9:30 in the morning before it got hot. There was an ice cream truck there at 9:30 a.m.
Why not?
Now, my kids were like, can we get an ice cream? I'm like, nah, it's 9:30.
What's the appropriate time for you? You would have said yes for your kids to have one.
Anytime after 11, I'd have been
11, okay.
11 o'clock, I'd have probably swayed. And then really anytime the rest of the day. 9:30 is too early, dude. We just did breakfast.
I think it depends on the...
We just left
okay.
the house.
If you just ate breakfast, because I think it depends where you're at. Like here, for example, we know they let fans in at camp in St. Joe, 8:30 or something like that?
Yes.
Or 8:15, and practice starts around 9:15. And next to us is our friends over at Hy-Vee. And they have some breakfast items, but they also, the whole time,
have
hamburger, brat, and cheeseburger. And you know this, I will sometimes at 9:30, right before our show, go grab a hamburger. Now, normally, am I ever eating a hamburger at 9:30?
But circumstances.
No.
We're at the park and the ice cream truck's there. All right, so my two are the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle with the gumball eyes.
Yeah.
That was top of my list as a kid. I love the Ninja Turtles.
Uh-huh.
So it was my flavored ice cream. And then I'll be honest, simple but basic. If you just only gave me two things off of there, I would get the chocolate eclair bar. The one with, like, the crunchy stuff on the outside, the vanilla ice cream, the little chocolate center.
At that point, you might as well just get a drumstick.
You know,
you don't like drumsticks?
I do like drumsticks. Oh. Kids just picked some out at the store the other day. I had one last night. I got nothing against a drumstick.
I had those so much growing up, like, so much.
Okay, nothing against a drum. I'm not anti-drumstick. It's just, I feel like when I'm getting something off the ice cream truck, I want something gold that I wouldn't get under normal circumstances. Does that make sense? I'm not getting, like, the chocolate eclair bar at the store very often. Maybe regular ice cream, maybe that. But that would be my answer. What's yours, Drew? What would you go with?
My two are really simple. Ice cream sandwich, original, simple. And then the bomb pops or the firecracker, the red, white, and blue popsicle.
Bomb pops a classic.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay, first off, you said a regular ice cream sandwich, not like the one that's got the chocolate chips on the outside, the sandwich with two cookies.
Simple,
just
original.
Just the classic, wrapped in the paper,
I'm just gonna be honest,
unfolded.
The cookie ice cream sandwich is far superior to the regular one. The one that's between two chewy chocolate chip cookies is
by far the
best.
We had those in junior high at school. You could get those in the frozen area.
Okay,
Taco, too. That's another one.
Didn't they get discontinued?
I think someone said it's back on the
table. Oh, it's back. Okay. I was about to say, I thought they killed that off for a while. Yeah. All right, Gold, I got news up. I got a wasp update, Drew.
Are they back?
Or
is it back?
Living.
Where are they?
Oh, they're back. They've never left.
Living?
That hole. They are living inside the pipes.
Oh, of the tent.
They're inside the pipes of the tent.
So do we have some Flex Seal? Let's
lock
them
in. If we either get some Flex Seal or I bring the wasp spray I have at home,
just
ruin it. Just ruin their lives.
Okay.
Straight in. I watch two climb right in there.
That's where they're right above my head.
Yeah. Right above your head.
Yeah, what happens if you miss one and then it, you know, if it gets
pisses
away.
Them off?
It's gonna
we got to take, man.
It's going to come back after you.
I'm sure the tent company would love us to foam it up. Probably just got to use the wasp spray. Probably got to use the wasp spray. Don't think the tent company.
I tried to get it with a shoe earlier, but there's too much equipment on the table. I'm going to break like a laptop or one of our streaming cameras, Gold's phone. I'm going to break something if I just start swinging
you
a shoe.
You just got to make sure that you actually get
all of
them.
I watched it go right up in there.
So they're just chilling up there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's where they went with their nest. I saw them in this corner too. Maybe there's another hole, and they're kind of working the whole tent. But I definitely watched two climb directly into that.
Well,
so that's part of their home. And if we poison them, we can get rid of these wasps once and for all.
We are broadcasting live from the Comcast Business Tent, powering possibilities. You can watch the show on video as well.
Physical tent.
That's right. We are hanging out at Chiefs training camp. We'll be back here on Friday as they do not have practice tomorrow. But up next, we get to the 1 o'clock hour. One player that there's a lot of noise around, and it maybe is too soon. Plus, we'll talk more about our results from yesterday's tournament here on Cody and Gold.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.